first chapter, and sent from God, whose name was John. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Good morning. It's lovely to see you all here, and it's lovely to have you at home with us this morning as well. As we begin, let's pray. Lord of creation, creator of the lights in the heavens, and creator of humanity, we pray that more than ever you will fill us with a sense of wonder and joy, not only as you reveal yourself as the true light in the darkness, but as you invite us to become the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow will be the shortest day of the year in what feels like the longest year of a generation. And it may seem that the longest night is an appropriate picture or analogy for the darkness people have felt and continue to feel as we travel towards an even more constrained Christmas than we thought, and that we continue to have an uncertain future despite the vaccine. But it will also be a night of excitement, of wonder, and of joy, because tomorrow night there will be a celestial conjunction. There will be a bright light in the sky when Jupiter and Saturn are set to cross paths in the heavens for the first time in 800 years, when the planets will be at their closest and appearing to the naked eye as if they are a single planet. Okay. So astronomical events may not float your boat. And even if they do, there may be some astronomical disappointment due to British weather and the distinct possibility of cloud cover. But the cloud won't prevent the planets moving or individuals speculating on its meaning. And at the same time, it's hard not to see and hear the sense of excitement, the sense of wonder and joy in the voices, the mannerisms, the writings of the likes of Dr. Maggie Adarin Pocock, Professor Chris Lintott, Brian May, all of the presenters on The Sky at Night. These days, they have the full range of opportunities to share their enthusiasm on TV, in documentaries, articles, conferences, interviews, and of course, the full range of social media. 2,000 years ago, things were a little different. And so we come to our reading and the introduction to John the Baptist, as we've just heard. His sense of joy and wonder was no less than the presenters already mentioned, But he was not excited by stars and by lights in the sky, celestial conjunctions, or even the Star of Bethlehem. His sense of joy and wonder came from knowing the light of men, the light who was with God, the light who was God, the light who had made all things, the light that was God become man. There is only one light, because this light is the only time throughout all history when God chose to become man in all his humanity. And as John experienced that wonder and joy, he was compelled to tell others about this light, using the means available to him at the time, preaching, physical demonstrations of the possibility of a new relationship with God through the baptisms he performed, but also of his humility. When he was faced with Jesus at the start of the ministry of Jesus, knowing the light of men does not leave us unchanged, but fills us with wonder and joy that we are unable to keep to ourselves. And Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. These verses make it clear that there were those people who did not accept that Jesus was God. They did not accept that Jesus was the light of the world, even though they were the very people who should have recognized and acknowledged that Jesus, they should have recognized and acknowledged Jesus as God. It may seem strange that these are the very people who were unable to recognize him as such. But they, like people today, were wanting something or someone different. They were looking for someone who was charismatic, someone who would make their small nation great again, someone who would stand up to the foreigners who wanted to rule with their own legislation applied uniformly across the nations that they had conquered, the foreign powers who wanted to be paid in taxes to support their foreign systems, their legal processes, their infrastructure that allowed both free trade and unfettered mobility, that brought international peace and lifted the living standards of many. Israel wanted to regain their sovereignty over their own land and their own people. If they could have voted for Paxit, freedom from Roman rule, I'm sure they would have done. And in being so focused on their idea of the leader that they wanted and the benefits of that leadership, they missed out on the wonder and joy of knowing the light of men, of receiving grace upon grace. As someone once wrote, there can be no more poignant expression of human folly and perversity than Israel's rejection of Christ. In spite of waiting for centuries for their promised Messiah, when at last he appeared, they not only dismissed his claim, but instigated his destruction. And it would be an even greater sadness if you missed out on the wonder and joy, because Jesus is not who you think you are looking for. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. We are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. For whilst the Jewish religious leaders were missing the point, there are many others, Jews and non-Jews, who get the point fully. For all who receive Jesus have the right to become children of God. That is, whoever we are, whatever our background. It doesn't matter if you are poor, hounded by loan sharks, just managing, getting by, comfortable, or rich. If you believe in his name, you have the right to become a child of God. If you live in a doorway, a hostel, council house, on High Park, Churchtown, or Rotten Row, if you believe in his name, you have the right to become a child of God. If you are out of work, if you are a fruit picker, a cleaner, an employer or employee, bin man or professor, even a politician, if you believe in his name, you have the right to become a child of God. You can be a refugee, an asylum seeker, have settled status, or born in the UK. You can be Bulgarian, French, Colombian, Dutch, from inner or outer Mongolia, or British. You can be gay, transsexual, transgender, cis or bi, or straight. Dyslexic, dyspraxic, have ADHD, autism, or Asperger's, or are neurologically normal. If you have anxiety, depression, anorexia, bulimia, feelings of suicide, mentally unwell, or mentally healthy. If you are bullied, abused, trafficked, exploited, subjected to violence. Whoever you are, whatever your background, if you believe in his name, you have the right to become a child of God. The family of God is rich in its diversity, even when our churches are not. Many will have seen the story of the pastors in Burnley feeding and clothing the poor, and how their work has increased since the start of COVID. The BBC website carries the story of Pastor Mick Fleming, of Church on the Street, of the way that God met him and enabled him to know what it means to be a child of God. Once a dangerous, violent drug user and dealer with convictions for murder, he met God in a powerful way that stripped him of all of his layers of self-inflicted protection, enabled him to forgive the man who had raped him when he was young, and to build a life that reflects the compassion and generosity of his Father in heaven. The man who is forgiven much learns to love much in return. In a letter written to the church in Ephesus, Paul prayed that the church members would grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Our stories may not be, are unlikely to be, as dramatic as Pastor Mike's, but it should be no less profound or life-changing. And this Christmas, we invite all to join the family of God, to be wrapped in wonder and joy by the light of the world, to be wrapped in wonder and joy by the God who became man, full of grace and truth, who came to all the unfaithful, the weak and unstable, who came to know that we are not alone, that Christ is born for you, Christ was born for me. I come from a family of six, four siblings, two brothers, two girls, a big sister. We live all over the place, internationally as well as nationally, often only coming together at Christmas or New Year, and obviously we're not going to be doing that this year. One year, Keith and I were the last to arrive, and my sister-in-law said that they'd been having a lovely time remembering family stories of when we were all small, with many being about me. It may seem strange to you, but they weren't stories of how brilliant I am, or about my athletic or gymnastic or balletic prowess, or how artistically creative I am. But they were stories of things that had gone wrong, times when I had misbehaved, amazing, or times when I just got in the way. Why do I tell you that? Because John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. And whilst family members may leap to each other's defense in public and may recommend each other for specific types of work, and parents can be very proud of the achievements of their children, cousins and siblings don't normally talk about each other in the way that John the Baptist spoke about his cousin, Jesus. And this very abnormality is one of the reasons why this gospel carries the ring of truth, a truth that seems to be so far in a world of fake news. And it also speaks of the humility that is needed to know Jesus. There are plenty of reasons why John the Baptist could have considered himself to be better than Jesus. His parents had a better standing in the community. His father was a priest. The father of Jesus was only a carpenter. His mother was married to his father when he was conceived and then born. Wasn't quite the same for Jesus. The conception of John the Baptist was miraculous due to the age of his mother when he was conceived. He had been marked out as special to God from birth, and great things had been expected of him. But listen again. John came to bear witness to the light. He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Just as there is no worldly disadvantage that can bar us from becoming a child of God, neither is there any worldly advantage that entitles us to become a child of God. I started with the wonder and joy that our astronomers are experiencing as a result of the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. And I'm going to finish with a quote from someone called Dorothy Sayers that challenges all of us who call ourselves children of God. She's writing about Jesus, God becoming man, and says, "From the beginning of time until now, it is the only thing that has really happened. We may call this doctrine exhilarating, or we may call it devastating. We may call it revelation, or we may call it rubbish. But if we call it dull, then what in heaven's name is worthy to be called exciting? This is and continues to be a season of wonder and joy, a wonder and joy that is longed for, that is needed this year more than any other in our generation." Let's pray. Lord of creation, creator of the lights in the heavens, and creator of humanity. We pray that more than ever, you will fill us with a sense of wonder and joy this Christmas, not only as you reveal yourself as the true light in the darkness, but as you invite us to become the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks very much, Helena. I'm just looking out the window because for those of us in the building, we were planning on going outside to sing of that wonder and joy from the squalor of a borrowed stable. A wonder and joy that began in the stable, well, in the manger, and ended at that first Easter. However, it is raining. It's throwing it down. Okay, so we're not going to go outside. We're not going to electrocute the band. We need them for tonight. For the carols by candlelight. So we're going to stay in here. You're going to be listening as well. You can join in from the squalor of a borrowed stable.
Skies will part as the sounds, hope of heaven or the fear of hell. But the bride will run to her lover's arms, giving glory to Emmanuel.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning in the building and at home as well. We are still on for this evening, 6 o'clock. The weather is set to be dry. Do pray it is dry. Wrap up warm, and we'll see you at 6 o'clock. But may God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy, and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.